T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This hour is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing.
It's OMF on EEI.
Coronavirus outbreak in their facility. I am now told by several sources that Lamar Jackson, the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens, the former MVP, has tested positive for COVID-19, headed to the COVID-19 reserve list.
I hate COVID.
Hey, Bill, just checking on Sonny Michel. You said earlier in the week that you had him active this week. Does it look like he'd be ready to contribute for you guys?
Yes.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
I like this team a lot, and I think Tatum and Brown will continue to grow. We'll see that. We'll see a more consistent Marcus Smart because we'll get more consistent time. So I'm really high on this team right now.
I hate Jason Tatum.
Disgrace.
All right, welcome in. None of the members of OMF are actually here today. It's Brian Barrett and Wiggy. Wiggy, how are you, my friend? I imagine you get some time to sleep in today. Not your normal situation where you got to be up at, 3 a.m.?
Yeah. Well, a little bit of time to sleep in today. So I'm not complaining about it. How's everything? How was your Thanksgiving?
No, it wasn't bad, man. It's a little different this year with all the restrictions and whatnot, but it's just another Thursday to me, man. And unfortunately for all of us, you know what happened, Wiggy? Is the only one game I was enthusiastic about, it gets canceled. So that kind of sucked. We got to watch the Detroit Lions and Matt Patricia, who's now walking the plank. He's about to be fired. And Romeo Crennel, of course, beating him yesterday. And that Washington-Dallas game, I mean, what a joke. Did you see that fake punt, Wiggy?
No, I didn't see that. You know, oh. I was like you. The only game that I really had any, I wanted to see was obviously the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game. And then once that thing got canceled, I was like, it's not even worth it. You know, I don't want to see the rest of these other teams play. It was just horrible. There's nothing there. So, no, I didn't get a chance to see that one.
All right, Wiggy, so let me ask you this question real quickly. As somebody that played in the league for a number of years, won a Super Bowl, so if you were playing for a Dallas Cowboys team where you had an opportunity, as crazy as it sounds, to actually take the lead in the division yesterday, you're down 4 points in the fourth quarter on your own 15. Down okay. 4 points in the fourth quarter, and you call a fake punt. What the hell's that all about, man? That is just inexcusable from a coaching perspective. You're down 4. It's not like you're down 2 touchdowns. What are you doing?
I never really get the fake punt. I mean, or the fake field goal, or the fake in general for special teams. Because why take your offense off the field and put a unit on the field that's not used to handling the ball? Now, I know you're trying to surprise teams or whatever and maybe catch them off guard, but I think in a lot of those situations, everybody's antennas are up. I'd rather just keep my offense on the field and go for it if that's what I really want to do.
Yeah, that was mind-numbing. And it wasn't like at that time Washington was moving the ball well or anything, but just clueless coaching. There's a lot of bad coaches in this league. It's Brian Barrett and Wiggy in for the guys on OMF. So speaking of games coming up this week, Wiggy, what do you think of this Patriots game? What are your thoughts? Are you excited for it? You give them a chance against Arizona? I know you've been high on the Patriots all season long, but your guy Cam Newton last week has an opportunity again to win at the end of the game. He doesn't come through. You feeling confident this week?
Well, you know, I think, when you look at that game, especially last week against the Texans, I didn't feel like that was a game that the offense did something, and that was the reason why they weren't able to win that game. I think defensively, it was one of those games where you go, wow, what happened here? You let Deshaun Watson throw the football all over the place. And so now you're getting ready to play Arizona. And I said it, I said this on the Greg Hill show earlier in the week, that basically in order for this team to make the playoffs, they got to run off their next six games, and that obviously starts with Arizona. Now, I'm a little bit more confident in them beating Arizona because of the fact that Kyler Murray's got that bum shoulder, and that's just going to get be an advantage for the Patriots. But when you think about where they are and you think about can they make the playoffs, the only way they have a realistic chance is going 10-6, because I think that, you know, it's going to be extremely difficult to get in at 9-7.
Yeah, and the Browns are about to get a win again this weekend. So you're looking up at a lot of teams. The Raiders, and I know you have the tiebreak over them, but the Raiders right now, they look really good. I was impressed last week with what Derek Carr did against Kansas City after already beating him this year. So you're essentially, you're going to have to run the table. And here's the thing that I look at in, on the schedule. You look at, all right, Arizona this week. Then you have the Chargers. Then you have the Rams, who we all saw them beat Tom Brady the other night. Great defense there. The Dolphins, who have played well. You got the Bills and the Jets. And when I look at this, Wiggy, you can look at four out of the six quarterbacks and say those guys are all better than Cam Newton. So you don't have a great roster right now. And then secondly, Kyler Murray right now is a better player than Cam Newton. Now, maybe the shoulder situation plays into the game on Sunday. Justin Herbert's playing at an insane level right now. Goff's had a pretty good season. And Josh Allen, right now, Cam Newton, in my mind, he looks like a poor man's Josh Allen. Josh Allen looks like a more athletic Cam Newton.
But here's what I'd say, Brian. I would say that even though you might have the worst of the quarterbacks, the thing I look at is he can do enough to put you in. I think we've seen this over the last 4 weeks. He can do enough to put you in a position to win the football game. The question is, are you going to be able defensively to slow those teams down? Because that's how you're going to win and lose these games. I think Cam will do enough to win you football games. But now it's going to be like in that Texans game, right? He did enough offensively to win themselves football games, but you couldn't get off the field, and you couldn't get off the field against the Texans to win that football game. Now that's what it's going to come down to. I think if you look at him, and I said this over his last, you know, over his last four games, you know, he's thrown for over 931 yards, two touchdowns, zero interceptions, and about a 105 quarterback rating. Now, that's good enough for him to win you football games. But defensively, can you stop the run, or whether can you stop the pass? Whatever that team is doing, can you do that so you can win those football games? And I think that's going to be – they're going to be able to win based on what their defense does or doesn't do.
Well, Wiggy, that's a good point too, because when you look at this defense – that's how we thought entering the season, right? If they're going to make a run, if they're going to win the division or even get a wild card spot, we assumed that the defense was going to be really good. And even with some of the guys you lost, the Van Noys of the world, the Jamie Collins and Hightower opts out, you still felt like that was going to be a pretty good unit, that they were still going to be pretty good. And I know Gilmore missed some time, but the defense just hasn't lived up to the hype whatsoever. I mean, last week, that was emasculating what happened to Devin McCourty in the end zone when he just got completely run over. They don't stop the run whatsoever right now. And the secondary, which was supposed to be one of the strengths of this team, even if you go back to a win that they had this year against the New York Jets, Breshad Perriman, who wasn't even good enough to stay on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? He's on his third NFL team. He's making J.C. Jackson fall over. He's beating Jason McCourty for touchdowns. So if you just look at it, just based on what we assumed heading into the season, the defense has been the bigger disappointment. Cam Newton gets the headlines because he's the quarterback, but I don't know how they explain how poorly the defense has played for the majority of the season. The only game that I came across from and I was like, well, they were really great in this game was Baltimore. But even that had a weird situation because of the weather and whatnot. And you knew how you were going to play Lamar based on what happened last year, that you were just going to take the running game out of it and you were going to make him try to beat you passing, and he couldn't. So that's really the only game I point to. And I say, oh, yeah, the defense played well. Other than that, they've been bad this year.
Right. And if you look at Arizona, right, you got, and you're Belichick and you're that defensive staff, you got to say, okay, what does Kyler Murray do well? Well, you know what? We know he's a tremendous athlete. And he can make a lot of plays with his legs. So we got to defend for that. But we also know that he's banged up a little bit, right? So and that's in his throwing shoulder, and he's dealing with that. So what do we want to do to make him uncomfortable back there? Do we want to put some pressure on him? Do we want to blitz him a little bit? Maybe get a few free runners on him, take some hits. Maybe we get a chance we can knock him out of the game. I think defensively, you got to figure out what you want to do. Do you want to sit back and kind of do what you did against Lamar, where you're going to say, all right, you're going to have to beat us throwing the football. Now, he's a better passer than Lamar Jackson.
Sure.
But like I said, he's dealing with that shoulder injury. So is that the game plan that you want to have? Is you won't beat us with your legs. You're going to have to beat us with your arms. And it's going to come down to how the Patriots play defense. And if they can stop the run And or you know, if Arizona wants to throw the football, they could slow down Kyler Murray, do whatever they need to do. I think Cam and that offense will put you in a position that they'll put you in a position where you'll be able to win that football game, because we know they can run the football. We know Cam is just efficient throwing the football. He doesn't have to go out there and throw for 300 yards. He just, as long as he goes out there and he's efficient and doesn't turn the football over, they do a good enough job on offense. It's going to be about what Bill and this defense wants to take away from this Arizona Cardinals.
Brian Barrett and Wiggy in for the guys on OMF today. We're with you until 7 o'clock. All right, so then, Wiggy, I understand, and I'm with you on the defense. They obviously have to show up. If they don't show up, they're in real trouble, and there's been a lot of games where they haven't showed up this season. But there has been games, to your point, where has Cam Newton done enough, right? And they've had situations all season long where at the end of the game, the offense had the ball with an opportunity to win, and he hasn't come through. So at the end of the game with the ball in his hands, he's 1-4, right? You go back to that Seattle game, we can criticize the play call, but he couldn't get in from the one-yard line. Denver, and I understand you had the issues with the offensive line. You're down 18-12 at the end of the game. He throws it at N'Keal Harry's feet. The Buffalo game, we know he fumbled. The Jets game, that's the one game he came through. He set up that field goal. Although, Wiggy, I could argue that maybe the Jets were trying to help you with that Joe Flacco interception. And then you had the Texans game, of course, turnover on downs. He gets the ball batted down on third down, and then on fourth down, he didn't see the blitz. In Cam's career, he only has 16 fourth-quarter comebacks, so this isn't a new thing with Cam Newton. So why should any of us have any faith whatsoever if you're in a game that's a one-score game, you're down a field goal, maybe you're down 6 points, you're down 4 points, whatever it is, you have a chance to win late. Why should anybody have any faith this guy's going to come through? Because throughout his career, he hasn't done it, and since coming here, he hasn't done it.
Yeah, and I mean, I can understand that. And, you know, like you said, there's been games this season where you go, okay, they had opportunities at the end of games to win those games, and they weren't able to come away with it. So, and I understand that. But I think the biggest thing is where you know that every game that they play in from here on out, I personally believe it's going to be a one-score game, whether they're up by one score or they're down by one score. I don't think they're a team that's going to get blown out, and I don't think they're a team that's going to blow anybody out. But I do think they're a team that's always going to be in the game, especially at the end of it. Now it's going to come down to, you know, when Cam gets in this situation again, can he make the plays that he needs to make? Are they able to pick up the blitz? Are they able to, you know, say, hey, there's a chance they're going to blitz. Maybe we put Cam in a position where the play that got called designed is one where they don't have a free rusher, or, you know, maybe we're trying bootleg. I mean, there's a lot of things that you have to factor in at the end of the games on, you know, what you want to do, maybe to especially on the offensive side of the football, if you're trying to, you know, keep the stakes moving, or if you're trying to come away with a touchdown. So I think that's going to be something that Cam's going to have to show that he can do. And defensively, you're going to have to show that you can get off the field and keep your team in it.
Yeah, and Wiggy, when you mentioned them maybe heating Cam up in terms of bringing the blitz, that's something that really concerns me, because you just go back to last week in that game, and I understand that, you know, on the third down, as we referenced, J.J. Watt bats the pass down, and then on the fourth down, he doesn't pick up the blitz. But it seems like that's sort of becoming a theme with Cam Newton, where he doesn't see the pressure before the ball is snapped. He's not identifying the blitzers. And if I'm Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator of Arizona there, I'd be bringing the heat all day. And that Arizona team loves to blitz. If you look at some of their numbers, they're fifth in the league. They blitz on 40%. They blitz 40% of the time. So if I'm entering this game, I got to do a better job, if I'm Josh McDaniels and Jed Fish, to have my quarterback getting the ball out quickly, because it just seems like, I know there's a lot of times where they build in some stuff, and like there was the long play last week to Damir Bird, but it seems like there's a lot of time when Cam Newton has more time in the pocket and he has the ball longer in his hands, it seems like those decisions aren't being made. And what I don't understand, and maybe part of it is, in my estimation, he doesn't look like the same athlete he has in previous years. Like, I don't see him running away from linebackers anymore, but the scrambles, I don't see the scrambling as much as we've seen in the past.
Here's what I would say. What Josh McDaniels has to do is he has to do a better job of scheming up, knowing what the defense wants to do, right? So if you looked at the game against the Texans, they brought that blitz a couple of times where the safety came off the edge and basically was a free runner. So, and one time he sacked Cam Newton, and the other time, the last play of the game, Cam Newton saw him and kind of pirouetted out of it. But you have to do a better job as the offensive coordinator, knowing that, okay, there's a chance that they're coming with the blitz because it's been working well. And I think Cam even said that I think it might have been after post game when he was asked about it, he said that, you know, that was a blitz that they had success on. And so Romeo Crennel likes to, when he has success with something, likes to continue to do it. So if you're Josh McDaniels, you have to come up with something to combat that. So if you know they're coming up with a blitz, you got to have something built in on the backside where Cam knows right away, this is built in. If that guy comes, this is where I'm throwing the football. And I don't think they had anything built in, and that's why you saw Cam kind of running for his life. And I think Josh has to do a better job, especially when you talk about a team like Arizona, who they like to blitz most 40% of the time. You got to start incorporating stuff that is already built in the blitz, so he doesn't have to worry about changing things and looking a bunch of things over. If the blitz comes, whether the blitz comes or not, the ball comes out quickly.
Yeah, and Wiggy, to your point, last week, that was such an atrocious game plan by the Patriots, which is stunning to me. You know what's amazing is all these Belichick ex-assistant coaches, they suck except against Bill. It doesn't make any sense. They're horrible against everybody against Bill, and it felt like last week they overthought things. Like, we went into the game knowing the Texans are an atrocious rush defense, right? The first drive of the game for the Patriots, they go right down the field. Damian Harris runs for a touchdown. He gets 5 carries on the first series, and then he gets 6 carries the rest of the game. And it's like, well, hold on. This was working. I know that Romeo Crennel made adjustments and all that, but you've been running against stack boxes for the majority of the season anyway because of Cam Newton. You did it with success, so why wouldn't you be able to do it with success against the worst rush defense of the NFL? And I have that same concern entering this week with the Arizona game. Are they not going to just keep pounding the football? You look at Arizona, they suck against the rush as well. 124 yards a game they give up. That's 23rd of the NFL. They give up 4.6 yards per rush, which is 26th in the NFL. It's almost a half a first down every time you run the football. And now after seeing last week, I'm concerned because I felt like, Wiggy, going into that game last week, Belichick would do what he did against the Colts in the 14 AFC Championship game. And even before that, remember with Jonas Gray and Gronk said he threw the guy out of the club. Like, don't overthink it. They suck against the run. Just run the football. Damian Harris had been their best offensive player over the past month or so, and they basically themselves chose to take him out of the game in, like, the first quarter. And I just hope that isn't the case this week, and I just hope they don't overthink it. Give the ball to Damian Harris. He's been consistent ever since you put him into the lineup, so why don't they just pound the football against Arizona?
Yeah, and you know what? And I completely agree with that. But I know that there are times, and I don't know what it is. I wish I could be, you know, a fly in the headset sometimes of Josh McDaniels. There's times when, you know, he gets away from the run a little bit early, you know, and for whatever reason, I don't get it, you know. Or there'll be times when it's like, all right, you're running here when you should be throwing. And so I think at times, you know, sometimes with Belichick and even with McDaniels, sometimes, like you said, they try to outthink themselves. They try to be, you know, think they're too smart than what they are. And it sometimes it gets in the way and it hurts them. You're right. Hey, you should have Damian Harris should be getting at least 15 to 20 carries a game. Even if the run is stalling a little bit, you keep running. And until eventually it pops. And sometimes they'll get Josh McDaniels gets away from that a little bit, and that's one of the things that, you know, can be frustrating with him, is he can get away from, you know, specific plays and specific game plans where you go, why are you doing that?
Yeah, and the other thing is, Wiggy, when you mentioned Josh McDaniels and him thinking about it in the headset, he just gets away from rushing the ball in some of these games. It's like you don't have Tom Brady anymore, right? You don't have one of the greatest passers in the history of the sport. Cam Newton has his own strengths. He doesn't have the same strengths as Tom Brady. He can't play against Seattle when Seattle knows you can't run the ball and Brady's just going to throw it all over the park in the Super Bowl like he did. Like, Cam Newton doesn't have that level to his game where if you're playing a defense, you're just playing one way, you're throwing the football, it's not going to work. And when I look at Newton, the thing that perplexes me is I go back to the Miami game. And that's a game I say, okay, they had a great offensive game plan. And I know you can say, all right, they caught him off guard. Nobody had seen Cam Newton in a Patriots uniform before. But how the hell does Cam Newton last week have 3 designed quarterback runs? That's his strength, right? Is his ability to run the football, at least put that thought into the defense's mind. And I feel like over the past couple of weeks, yeah, he's had some scrambles here and there. But last week, for him against the worst rush defense in the NFL to only run the ball 3 times, I just feel like that's bad coaching. You're not taking advantage of your player's skill set, right? It'd almost be like if you had Steph Curry say, hey, Steph, how about a couple less 3s a game? Let's take some more 2s. It's like, no, he shoots 3s. Right. That's what he does well. So why isn't Cam Newton running the football more? That's something that is just aggravating to me. And as I'm watching that game last week in the third quarter, I'm like, what the hell? They're not running at all. and they're not using Cam Newton's legs at all. What's the game plan here? The game plan just doesn't make sense.
And see, I think the running of Cam Newton, I think that's a calculated decision on their part, because I think they're concerned that if he gets hurt, they're really screwed. You know, so, you know, because that's one thing you look at and you go, okay, he has that ability. But when you don't run him like that, then that tells me they're concerned that if he gets hurt, they're really, really screwed. So I think that they would rather run him as little as possible until they need to, like when you get inside the 10-yard line, to try to limit any potential chance that he could have getting hurt. Now, I know that, you know, it kind of, you know, it definitely takes a skill set away from him that he has. But maybe they look at it when, and you had just said it, he's not the same runner he used to be. So is it worth running him and running the risk of him getting hurt, and then you'd be completely screwed where if he does, versus, you know, all right, we'll run him when we need to run him, kind of spot duty inside the 10-yard line, because we don't have anybody to fall back on.
Well, Wiggy, I'm already in the camp that says they're already screwed. They're sitting at 4-6. If you get something that you could take advantage of, which is at least Cam running the football every once in a while, unlike last week, I would go ahead and I would do it. I do agree with you, though, in the sense that they feel like, okay, they can't go to the backups. Because, I mean, obviously they lost faith in Jarrett Stidham, and we all saw Brian Hoyer, what happened to him at the end of the second quarter in that Chiefs game. So obviously they have no faith when it comes to that whatsoever. I just feel like right now this offense is boring and it's stale and it's very difficult to watch. And I wonder, too, Wiggy, like we mentioned the fact they got to run up the table just to get into the playoffs. It feels like right now the Patriots are like the Charlotte Hornets in the NBA or the Washington Wizards in the NBA, where it's like, okay, let's just see if we can get the 8 seed. What's it all for, right? And I know there's not 8 seeds at the NFL, but it feels like that's the state of the Patriots right now. And it feels like, is that going to change anytime soon? Because I think we can both acknowledge right now that Cam Newton's nowhere near an elite quarterback in this league. So if you bring back Cam Newton or a quarterback similar to Cam Newton next year, aren't you just on that treadmill of mediocrity again, where the best hope is, okay, let's get into the playoffs, but you know you're not beating a team like the Kansas City Chiefs or the Pittsburgh Steelers? It just feels like right now it's a stale, mediocre franchise. And I get it's just the first year removed from Tom Brady, so it's going to take some time. But it just feels like they're stuck right now as a team and as an organization.
Well, I think they're going in a different direction, right? You don't have Brady no more, so Brady is able to mask a lot of the problems that you had in the past, whether it was your defense, whether it was your rushing attack. There was a lot of things that he was able to make up for. You don't have that no more, right? So, you know, it's not like you're this, you know, you're not that high-flying Golden State Warrior offense no more. Now you're an offense that got to, you know, win games by playing scrappy defense and, you know, getting on the ground for loose balls and you know, you got to completely change up who you are, because you don't have that player anymore. And I think the thing you have to figure out, New England has to figure out, is, okay, where do we want to go personnel-wise? Because I think there's a lot of issues here where they have to ask themselves questions offensively. They don't have a true number one wide receiver. So they got to figure out, okay, we need to go out and get a true number one. We need to add players to that defense, you know, especially in that front seven. So I think there's a lot of things that the Patriots got to figure out. And if they can add some of these pieces, can Cam Newton be a good enough bridge quarterback to make them a playoff contender? And then once you get in, you never know. Or do they need to figure out, okay, he can't be that bridge quarterback because he can't be that guy if we put the right type of pieces around him. We need to still find that next guy. So I think you have to find the next guy anyways. Mm-hmm. But is there a bridge between that next guy or is it just like, all right, that next guy's getting thrown right into the fire?
Yeah, that's fair. Hey, Wiggy, we'll get into that in greater detail in terms of what they're going to do in the future in just a little bit here. But you mentioned the receivers. They need a number one guy. I would ask you this. Do they even have a number two? Is Jacoby Myers, you project him to be good enough to be like a future number two receiver in the NFL?
I think he's still a long way off. I think he's probably more of a three or a four. But you need a legitimate one. You need a legitimate two. Then his role will, you know, then he can really go where he needs to be on the food chain, right? He's not really a legit number one or a legit number two right now. And I think there's got to be some pieces that have to be added there. And then you'll start to see everything kind of take its place. And then who knows, maybe in a few years he can maybe climb to that and become a solid number two. But as of right now, I still think you got to find a legit number one and even a legit number two, because I think he's a solid three. And I think Demir Byrd's a solid three. So if you could find two other guys to go along with those guys, two legit guys, Now you got a nice little receiving core.
Yeah, it's fair. Wait, you know what? And I know this is like the low-hanging fruit with the Patriots and with Bill Belichick, but it does really suck that it feels like every time you watch a game on Sunday, you see a receiver that was taken after N'Keal Harry. I'm watching that Washington game yesterday, and Terry McLaurin, this guy's had like four different quarterbacks, so I don't want to hear about like Tom Brady ruined N'Keal Harry, whatever. You hear that for people that defend Harry. They're few and far between now. But I watched Terry McLaurin, who went in the third round. I'm like, this guy could have been on the Patriots. You see Metcalf, you see A.J. Brown. It's like if they just had one of those guys,
right,
we'd get a better judgment of Cam Newton as well, because at least he'd have a bona fide, legitimate weapon. It's the one Belichick will never live down, because that was just an atrocious draft pick based on the strength of all the guys in that draft.
Right. It's one of those things where you swing and miss, and that's the thing about the draft, you know. When you're picking at the end of the first round, it's obviously a lot harder versus, you know, in the top 10. But you never know. You swing and miss, am I happy that they went after a wide receiver with the first round draft pick? Yeah, I am, but he hasn't panned out. So as of right now, that's an absolute bust, but you never can tell. You know, that's the thing about the draft. It's such a roll of the dice. And, you know, all you can figure out is try to figure out, okay, what was their process pre-draft into, you know, pre-drafting him? Was it more about his measurables? Was it more about what he did in college? You know, and then you just got to try to figure out where you might have went wrong and try not to make that mistake again.
All right, a lot more to get into. Brian Barrett and Wiggy in for the guys on OMF. We're with you until 7 o'clock tonight. Mike Lombardi is going to join us at 4. I want to continue to get into Cam Newton. Do you want him back in 2021? 617-779-7937. I would take him back under one condition. Plus, I think the Patriots should be taking a quarterback in the first round, but I don't think Bill Belichick will. I'll tell you why in just a little bit, and we'll get you trending in just a second here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Going to take the shotgun snap, takes it, going to keep it and run with it. Left side, gets good yardage inside the 15.
Ball.
No, ball comes out, loose ball. Who's got it? The Bills may have it. It is Buffalo ball. Cam Newton fumbled at the 12-yard line, and the Bills recover. It
game.
Looks like Marlowe on the bottom of the pile comes up with the football.
That is the game
Justin
right
Zimmer
there.
Justin Zimmer got the strip, I believe, and the Bills come up with the football with 31 seconds left. Oh, my goodness.
All right, that was the call on the Bills Radio Network a couple of weeks ago as the Pats fell to Buffalo. Brian Barrett, Wiggy in for the guys on OMF. So, Wiggy, we both agree, or maybe you disagree. Do you think Cam Newton's the long-term fix at the quarterback position for the Patriots? Because I'm fine with him being a bridge for a year, but for another year, if they want to bring him back, as long as he understands that. And quite frankly, I don't think there's going to be much of a market. In fact, the only team I can think of, Wiggy, that would be interested in him is maybe Chicago, because they've had this mess with Trubisky and Foles. But other than that, there's not a lot of destinations where Cam could end up. So I'm fine if he's here for another year, just not the long-term guy.
Well, I don't think he's the long-term guy either, but I definitely think that he would be the perfect bridge guy, right? If you needed a guy you know, to be a starter next year. And you put the pieces around him. He got a full offseason in, you know, one that there's, you know, no COVID-19. You know, hopefully next year players won't be dealing with, you know, COVID in the sense that, you know, if they get sick, they're going to have to miss, you know, several weeks or anything like that. So hopefully all that stuff will be different, right? And I think if you kind of put Cam in that position and you put some pieces around him, legitimate pieces, because I think regardless if it's Cam or somebody else, you got to be able to answer some of those personnel issues. I think he'd be the perfect bridge guy. And, you know, if that's for a year or to be, and then maybe mentor the other guy, I would say max 2 years. As far as, you know, then I think it's time for you to start incorporating who that next guy is. And I know you had made mention about it before we went to break about, you know, Bill, what's he going to do with his first round draft pick this year?
What do you want him to do? You want him to take a quarterback?
I agree with you. I want him to get a quarterback. And I think, you know, if he gets a quarterback in the first round, that's the perfect guy. That's your guy that, you know, it can maybe learn behind Cam for a year or so. And then he'll be the guy. And then you'll figure out whether or not this guy is the one that's going to be able to you know, kind of take the reins of this Patriots football team.
Yeah, so Cam Newton's a competent NFL quarterback. He's fine. I'm with you. I would take him back for a year. And obviously, Wiggy, we can see that everybody around him loves him. Everybody loves Cam Newton as a teammate, a leader, and all that. You talk to him every week. He's a great interview. I don't mind having the guy around for another year as long as he knows that he's not the long-term guy. But I just don't want to come back without getting that young guy in the first round into the equation, because then we're in the same place that, and just this is me selfishly as a fan, you're the Charlotte Hornets, as I mentioned earlier. That's basically what you are. You're just hoping to get into the playoffs, right? I want something to root for in terms of the future, like the Chargers right now. That fan base is excited. Well, like all 22 of the Chargers fans that exist, they're excited because they get to watch Justin Herbert every week, even though the team's record is not great. So my fear is that Bill won't do it because he doesn't want to draft a quarterback when he needs to, right? Like Jimmy Garoppolo in the second round, he's like, oh, this guy's still here. Let me go get him. And this year, if you're somewhere around where you are right now, Wiggy, 13th, it's going to be tough to get that guy. But my thing would be this. All right, we know that Lawrence and Fields are going 1 and 2. By the way, how did your alma mater let Fields go? What the hell is that about?
Yeah, that's because they fell in love with Jake Fromm as a quarterback game manager when you had such a great defense, and that's why you fell in love with him. But I think that the one thing real quick, Brian, I think here's what you have to do. People were like, you can still get a guy at the end of the first round. Now, I know they could end up being, you know, whether it's 18th, 19th, 20th, but even if they are at the end of the first round, let's say for some miraculous reason they are able to go 10-6 and they're at 24. I mean, people wanted them to draft Lamar Jackson several years back, which would have been late first round. And then last year, I think we were all on board with Jordan Love late in the draft. So I don't think they necessarily have to, you know, if you're not in the top, you know, five, okay, that's one thing. But I think as long as you can make a commitment and go, okay, we're going to go after a quarterback with our first round draft pick. And now whether or not they might trade Stephon Gilmore in the offseason, which gives them a little bit more room to maybe package and move up a little bit. But if they go get a guy at 19, 20, you know, 18, 17, wherever, I think Patriots fans will go, okay, that's the guy of the future. And even if Cam's got to play for a year or so, I think people would be happy with that because they know that Bill made a decision to draft somebody in the first round. And I think that's what we all want to see, myself included.
Yeah, well, Wiggy, the thing about, and you mentioned Lamar Jackson, I'll defend Bill and the Lamar Jackson thing just for this sole reason of Brady was pissed about the Garoppolo situation. How do you think he would have reacted if they drafted another quarterback in the first round? I think he would have been irate. We all know the Belichick-Brady relationship was icy at best at that point. So I'll defend him on that. I understand the point that people wanted a quarterback, but I'll defend Bill when it comes to that particular move because of the whole Brady situation.
Right, but I guess all I'm saying is that if they want a quarterback, they could have drafted a quarterback last year in the first round.
Yeah.
They could draft a quarterback this year. And I think if they draft a guy in the first round, I think that's telling people this is the guy. He might sit for a year, two max, but this is the guy that is going to be the guy that we expect to take the job from whoever the quarterback is within a year or two.
Yeah, well, Wiggy, this is what I want to do, and I know it would be completely un-Belichickian, if you will, but when I look at the draft, we know Lawrence is going 1 and Fields is going 2. And then there's that next group of guys, Zach Wilson out of BYU. I've watched him a couple of times, and I'm not an NFL executive, but I really like that guy. You got Kyle Trask coming out of Florida. You got Mac Jones out of Alabama and Trey Lance, who we're not going to see play again because he's at North Dakota State. When I look at it, what I want Bill to do is mortgage a bunch of draft picks to move up and get the guy that you think's the best in that next group. Because I don't care about his first-round picks in the future. His past couple first-round picks, we're talking about N'Keal Harry, Sony Michel, Isaiah Wynn, before that Malcolm Brown. So I don't care if he has to give up a couple of future first-round picks. Go get the best quarterback on the board. That would be my prerogative. And especially you look at Cincinnati, Joe Burrow's done for the season. They're in all likelihood going to hold that three spot. They need a lot to add to that team. They may be willing to play ball. Heck, if Dallas stays as bad as they are, they're probably going to give Dak a contract. They may be willing to play ball. So Bill would be able to move up if he really wants to. And I'd rather him do that than sit back and say, like, I never want to be in a position where I have four guys, right? Those four guys I mentioned, I'm saying, oh, I'll wait and I'll get the guy that I have fourth on my board. I'd rather go get the guy that's at the top, especially at that position. It's not a corner or a linebacker.
Right. No, and I completely agree with you. My biggest thing when I look at this, year and where this team is going, I think it's about them drafting a quarterback, you know, and obviously you say, hey, you go up and you get the guy top of your list. But if you can only go up and get the guy that, you know, might be third on your list, then you go up and you get that guy if he's third at your quarterback position. That's got to be your number one goal. And your number one goal, it can't be, well, we'll wait till next year. It's no, you know, there's going to be a couple of guys out there. There'll be a guy that you can get in the first round. And I think it's time for you to realistically say, hey, it's time for us to draft somebody in the first round, and that position has to be a quarterback.
Yeah, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett and Wiggy in for the guys on OMF. Let's get to Peter on the Cape. What's up, Peter?
Hi, how you doing, guys? Great show.
Thanks.
I'm all for not bringing Cam Newton back. Reason being, Cam is not a pocket passer. I mean, he just is wide open. He is real susceptible to his blind side. I mean, how many times have we seen him get crushed back there, 5-10 yards back?
Okay, but Peter, what's the solution then? If you want to get rid of Cam, who do you want?
You know, honestly, as much as I wasn't crazy about Stidham, I would give Stidham a chance. Well, I mean, he's a pocket passer. I know.
I think that ship has sailed.
They've given up on him, Peter. Come on, he couldn't breed out Brian Hoyer in camp.
Oh, Brian Hoyer. Oh, my gosh. That was painful. That was very painful. But, I mean, Cam, I mean, Josh McDaniels has to do something to protect Cam because he is back there and he's wide open. I mean, he's not in a pocket. He can't move up like Brady used to move up. I mean, he doesn't move up. He just is standing there like a statue. He's a huge target.
Yeah, Peter, it's fine. And look, appreciate the phone call. It's fine if you want to say you don't want Cam Newton back. There's a lot of people that feel that way. But here's my issue, Wiggy. If you're going to say that you don't want Cam back, you got to have a solution. So these are the guys you're going to be able to get. Like who? Ryan Fitzpatrick? I don't want any part of Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, that guy, we talk about durability. Jimmy Garoppolo is made of plastic. How many times has he been hurt? He's hurt now. So those are the alternatives. You're not trading for Ryan or trading for Matt Stafford. And I wouldn't even want that, especially considering the team isn't like about to win a Super Bowl with its current roster. So I just don't, there's not a lot of other solutions besides bringing Cam Newton back. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's the same type of different player, but the same type of guy. He's not going to put you over the top. He's fine. So Cam's in the system. Why not bring him back?
Well, see, here's what I would say, right? Here's what I, because people always go there, and I'm with you. When you start to look at the free agent quarterbacks that are available, you start to go, wait a second, do I want a guy like Philip Rivers that I'm going to have to pay 25, he's making $25 million this year, guys like Jacoby Brissett, Mitchell Trubisky. So when you start to name off these guys, like, do I really want these guys? Or if we brought back Cam and we drafted, all this is under the assumption that they're drafting a kid in the first round. If we brought back Cam, but then we added pieces around them, then we made a legitimate play on, say, like a Juju Smith-Schuster or a Kenny Galladay.
Allen Robinson's out there.
Allen Robinson. Yeah. Right? You made a legitimate play to bring in some offensive weapons. Cam had the whole offseason. Now you put some weapons around him. You went, put some weapons, you know, put some personnel guys on defense, and you go, okay, is Cam good enough with the talent he has around him? Bill's added some pieces to that defense to make it better. Is he good enough to make them competitive for being a playoff team, winning the division. And I think Cam would be, and we'd have to see that once he had two legitimate, you know, go get you a legitimate wide receiver and go get you a legitimate tight end to add to that offense. You know you can run the football. Your offensive line is good. You had some pieces on defense. I think Cam is a good enough quarterback. And like you said, you know him. He's good enough to make you competitive and put you in a position where to give the young kid the time that he needs to grow and learn before you throw him right away in.
Yeah, and Wiggy, Belichick strikes me as that type of coach, the old school mentality where he'd like the kid to sit for a little bit. I'm not saying maybe the whole season, but he'd like him to sit for at least the start of the season. And I liken it to, and I'm not saying they're going to be the same level of players, but it's kind of like going from Alex Smith to Pat Mahomes, where Mahomes gets a redshirt year. We're not telling you that we think that Cam Newton is a long-term solution. We're saying, as a bridge guy, you're not going to do much better than Cam Newton. You're not. So you might as well just stick with the guy and make sure, because that's the one thing that'll piss me off. If they don't take a quarterback in the first round, that'll piss me off. They need to get the next great Patriots quarterback into the organization. All right, it's Brian Barrett and Wiggy with you up until 7 tonight. We're in for the guys on OMF. Mike Lombardi will join us in about 15 minutes from now. How are the Patriots going to defend Kyler Murray? Do they have any chance to make it into the postseason? We'll get into all that with Mike in just a little bit here on WEI.
Famous? Sure.
Christian Fourier made history by catching the first touchdown pass from Tom Brady.
Freakishly good?
Christian really thought was not the lead, but, you know, good.
Your first pick to lead a championship parade?
Yeah.
It's Fourier.
Yeah.
On OMF.
All right, it's Brian Barrett and Wiggy in for the guys on OMF today, 617-779-7937, the number. Do you want Cam back in 2021? We're going to talk with Mike Lombardi in about 5 minutes from now. Wiggy, real quickly, though, you mentioned Stephon Gilmore and the possibility of picking up an additional draft pick this offseason. It feels like it's inevitable that they're going to end up trading him. But I would say this, over the stretch or the end of the season here, you look at some of these matchups, he has DeAndre Hopkins this weekend, and he said yesterday when they asked, who are you going to cover? And he said, I think you know. Or Wednesday, I think you know which receiver I'm covering. And then you got Stephon Diggs still on the schedule. You got those guys with the Rams, whether it be Cooper Kupp or Robert Woods. You got a lot of good matchups for Stephon Gilmore down the stretch of the season. This could be a benefit for this team. If he actually plays well against some of these matchups, you could get his value back up. Because you look at it, it's tough to trade away a 30-year-old corner and get the value you're looking for. So this may be an important stretch for the future of the Patriots just to build up Gilmore's trade value, because there's no way he's going to be a Patriot next year. So he needs to play well down the stretch, because if he sucks, you're going to get nothing good for him.
Yeah, and he looks like he's looking to get that one last deal. You know, whether it's a 3-year deal, and, you know, he wants to still be able to show teams that, hey, he can still be considered an elite corner and can play at that level. And so these last six games will be a great opportunity for him to go out there and prove that. And like you said, it'll be a great opportunity for the Patriots to now, you know, use him for trade bait to come the draft, which, you know, you package some things and you might be able to move up in the draft and get the quarterback that you want.
So, Wiggy, what I want to see selfishly as a fan on Sunday is I just want to see Gilmore lined up against DeAndre Hopkins. And I know through the past we've seen, like when Revis was here, he'd put Revis on the would Belichick put him on the number two receiver and you double the number one receiver. What do you expect to happen on Sunday? You think we get that matchup, Gilmore against Hopkins all day, or do you think they double Hopkins and put Gilmore on like Christian Kirk or something? Because Fitzgerald's obviously not playing.
Right. So I think they do a little bit of everything. You know, that's the one thing that we've seen with Bill. You know, at times you'll see Gilmore on the number one guy. Then the only time you really don't see Gilmore on the number one guy when the number one guy is an absolute burner like a Tyreek Hill, because they usually double that type of guy. So I think what you'll see is Gilmore at times he'll cover DeAndre Hopkins. At other times they'll be playing zone, so they'll switch it up. They want to make it as difficult for Kyler Murray as possible as well, because they don't want Kyler Murray to just kind of go back there and go, okay, they must be playing man every time that, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, Gilmore's across from him. So I think you want to be able to switch up the looks and try to confuse him being a young quarterback.
Wiggy, what was worse, when Stephon Gilmore put his house on the market and then he said, oh, he just wanted to move into the city, or when Rob Gronkowski came on this very radio station, or Rob Gronkowski's brother came on this radio station and said he was being paid like a mediocre tight end? Which one was worse to you? Because both of them rubbed me the wrong way. That Gilmore thing was a joke.
Yeah, that Gronk B being paid like a mediocre tight end. That was pretty bad, too.
So. Oh, that was horrible. He's like the third highest paid tight end in the league. Before that, he was the highest paid, and a couple of guys passed him. And his brother said he's paid like a mediocre tight end. That was a complete joke. Right. Oh, my God. And now this whole Gilmore situation was a mess. At least they cleaned it up better. Like, Gilmore's back, and he's playing. Hopefully he can get his value up, because that's the only – he's not part of the next great Patriots team. I think we could agree on that. So
right.
Might as well get his value up. All right, a lot more to get into. Mike Lombardi is going to join us next. How will the Patriots try to slow down Kyler Murray? Can Gilmore actually match up with DeAndre Hopkins? We'll ask Mike that next, coming up here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.